Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is the 17th of October now. It's a Friday. Thank the stars. Praise Friday, Jahina. We're at your service today on the WhatsApp, north, south, east, west, offshore, 087 032 3232. And you can email us as well. That's Oliver at rte.ie. We had such a lovely time yesterday with Mary Black and tons of messages. I hope you did too and you were singing into the night. But what a show for you today. Wait till you hear. Our visiting critic is Arthur Grunlian. Should have got my hair done for the morning that's in it, shouldn't I? And you'll have to wear a seatbelt when he's in because there's going to be a lot of energy. He's like a force of nature. He's a breath of fresh hairspray. He's a tornado of talk. And we set him on the experience of not being online for 2 days, which was a huge task for this man, I can tell you. He's very online. Isn't that the phrase you use? Which is always meant as an insult. He's very online, is lovely Arthur. And we'll find out how he got on. And we've Niamh Alger. She is one of the crop of Irish actors who are doing big things on screen these days. Crop is now a bit cliche, a crop of Irish actors. A hay shed of talent, basically, that we've sent off to London on the boat. Live exports, we've always been good at that. And there are very good things being said about. She's in a new show now. Oh God, I've left all the pages over here. Sorry about that. She's in a show with Tom Hollander. She's done Raised by Wolves, Ridley Scott, Malpractice with James Norton on ITV. It was a medical drama. Loads and loads of stuff. The Virtues as well, which is a superb thing with Stephen Graham on Sky. So this show is called The Iris Affair. Lucy Mangan in The Guardian says, it takes rare skill to write TV this thrillingly preposterous. Double-edged sword there. What does she say about our Niamh from Mullingar? Niamh Alger, who specialises in women who have just about had enough of everyone else's nonsense. They're saying, you have the perfect actor in the role of Iris, who herself is mostly computer and only at her core still winning or capable of allowing human emotions to enter her calculations. I'm hoping I can sustain this wild ride over its entire 8 episodes, but I'm halfway and so far so good. 4 stars in the very snippy world of Guardian reviews, so that can't be bad at all. What else is going around this morning? 51551, by the way, is the text. Happy birthday to Simon Harris, 39 years of age today. I know these things because of Callan's Cakes. We just know these things. But Lobra Hehona, to the TikTok Tánaiste. Will he have cake? I wonder, is he a cake man? He could do with some cheering up lately, the poor man, couldn't he? To celebrate, he'll probably set fire to 39 election promises from a year ago. Would that be the thing? But he's a lot to look forward to. In 2 years' time, when he's 41, he'll be set to be Taoiseach again in the rotation hurdy-gurdy, whirly gig. That is the coalition at the moment. In theory, 2 years' time, that's a long, long way off, isn't it? He is currently the shortest serving Taoiseach ever. So he'd want to get back in and not end up with that as his record. But he is trying to be very low-key at the moment, isn't he? Good luck with that. Who does he share a birthday with? Eminem. Eminem and Simon Harris in the one story. There you go. Eminem is 53 years of age today. And Wyclef Jean from the Fugees is 56. I would have thought he was older, actually. Been around a long time. Simon Harris would know who these people are, would he, really? Is he too young? He'd have Eminem up on the wall poster next to Garrett Fitzgerald. It is a week to go till the presidential election in this country. You'll miss it when it's gone, won't you? Will you? I was looking at one of the last elections for the Oris that had two candidates in it. I know there are 3 in it, but only 2 campaigning. So you know what I mean. 1966 is a fascinating one because it was Éamon de Valera versus Tom O'Higgins. And it was young versus old. Éamon de Valera was 83 at the time. It's roughly the same age that our current president is right now, looking for a second term, though, at that stage. And Tom O'Higgins carried out a grassroots campaign as the younger man of Fine Gael, young fella, probably in his 50s, whatever. And what's interesting here is that there was no, essentially no campaign, because De Valera said he wouldn't conduct a campaign himself, the office of president's above that kind of vulgar kind of thing. And so RTÉ decided, well, if the president is campaigning, we've only other one candidate, we just have no campaign, which obviously favoured the sitting president. And they didn't change their views. There was nothing. And the president kept popping up on radio and television, doing his presidential duties. And so O'Higgins hit the ground and he did a grassroots campaign. There were no polls at this stage, 1966. So the parties kind of chatted to their constituency branches and said, what's going on there? And they, Fianna Fáil, got very scared and realised that, oh my God, this Tom O'Higgins guy from Fine Gael, people like him. He could unseat Dev for Morrison Uachtaráin. So the campaign manager for Dev was Charlie Haughey, who was Minister for Agriculture. What did he do? 5 days before the vote, he announced £5.5 million spending targeted at farmers. £5.5 million in 1966. And it definitely had an effect because Dev scraped past the post in a vote where 1.1 million people turned out and voted. Dev won by just over 10,000 votes. In fact, just under. It was almost the same as the number of spoiled votes that year, 10,000. Fascinating election. Wyclef Jean, by the way, ran for president of Haiti in 2011. Who says you don't learn anything in this programme? There isn't much mention, by the way, of our sitting president, Michael D. Higgins. One of the great cheerleaders for his 14 years is the Irish Times. And they did a pullout, a presidential pullout in yesterday's paper, which ranked our presidents in order of greatness from 1 to 9. Michael D. came in fourth. They put him fourth after Douglas Hyde. Can you imagine the presidential tantrum the paper landed during afternoon tea yesterday? Fourth place. I think there might be a subscription being wound down early there, shall we say. Mid-table Miggledy, they'd be calling him. But actually, the technical stuff now will always be fascinating for the nerds. President Higgins, his wife Sabina and Mishnach, they have to be out of the house by the 10th of November, which is his final day in office constitutionally. No later than the 10th of November. The inauguration is usually a Sunday. So we'd expect to see our new president being inaugurated on the 9th, because that's the Sunday. And it being a republic, it's mercifully shy on the pageantry, isn't it? Just a speech, tea and sandwiches in the hall. Somebody has a chain, does a thing, and it's in Dublin Castle where the carpets haven't changed since Paddy Hillary was our golfer in chief in the highest office of the land. So we're looking forward to that. One of the greatest Irish men who ever lived is across the news sites this morning, Oscar Wilde. And the British Library over there has honoured Oscar Wilde by reissuing his library card in his name 130 years after they revoked it because of his conviction for gross indecency. The novelist, poet, playwright, he was excluded from the reading room in the library, in the British Library, which in 1895, which would have been devastating, obviously, for him because of the charge. So it was even before the trial. He was charged with having homosexual relationships, a criminal offence at the time. The love that dare not speak its name, as he famously said, but he was disgraced and ended his life in squalor in Paris after a spell in Reading jail. The new card, collected by his grandson, the author Merlin Holland, is to acknowledge the injustices and immense suffering that Wilde faced, said the library. And Merlin Holland said the new card is a lovely gesture of forgiveness. I'm sure his spirit will be touched and delighted. It's a wonder Merlin Holland didn't change his name back to Swift, because, you know, Constance, Oscar Wilde's wife, changed the name from Swift to Holland in disgrace, and she lived out in exile in Switzerland. She died even before Oscar Wilde, such was the stress. She was only 39 years of age. They had two sons, Cyril and Vivian. They both go off to the First World War. Cyril is killed and has no children, and Vivian survives. In fact, he gets an OB for services, and he very much contributes to the resurgence of Oscar Wilde and recognition of him in the 20th century. He's very unlucky in life himself. His brother is dead, his father is gone, his mother is gone, and he marries, his wife dies. And then he eventually marries late in life and has one son. And that son is Merlin Holland. And Merlin Holland has one child who's a son, Lucien Holland, who is now Oscar Wilde's great grandson. Only one son of one son of one son. It's kind of remarkable, isn't it? Almost what happens to Oscar Wilde after the conviction and the death is just as fascinating as everything else that's going on. So there you go. 51551 is the number. Will we take some music, I think, for the presidential election in mind for next week? I think we should. 51551 is the text.